businessman, that we are doing something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us for it. And then some people, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of gratitude for His bounties. Because if we try to count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not be possible. If we were to count and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is impossible to count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the ibadat of the free slaves. So this category is the one that each and every single one of us must strive to be in. We must strive to be part of this category, that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of shukr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, because this is the ibadat of the free slaves. Having said that, the topic that I was going to briefly speak on was the topic of, I've been given the topic of mu'asharat, and this has many branches, and it's impossible to cover all aspects. But today I wanted to cover the topic of how in our mu'ashara, in our society, we are guilty of exposing faults of people, criticizing people, exposing faults of people. And what this leads to is many kharafat, it leads to many harms, it leads to many evils, it could lead to other sins as well. So there are many ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would explain the importance of preserving the sanctity of your Muslim brother, and not critiquing your Muslim brother, not seeking out the faults of your Muslim brother. Because when this happens, when we seek out the faults of our Muslim brother, of our Muslim fraternity, then this creates enmity in that person. And this is against Islam. This is against the teachings of Islam. And this is against the essence of tabligh as well. It is against the essence of tabligh. Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he has mentioned that if we look to the faults of people, if we look to the faults of people, then it would be impossible for us to do tabligh, because we will be so focused on the faults, it wouldn't be possible to give them da'wat. So we cannot look at the faults of people, because then we wouldn't be able to look at that person with a neutral eye. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would speak to the Sahaba, he did not look at the sins which they had committed prior to accepting Islam. At the end of the day, they were Muslims, they were Sahaba, they were companions. But if he looked at them from the perspective, well, they buried their daughters alive, or they stole, or they were highway robbers, and they were many things. They committed many crimes. But the Prophet ﷺ did not single any one of them out for what they had done in the past. Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq, rahmatullah alayh, the last Khalifa Mujaz to pass away, he was the Khalifa of Maulana Hakimul Ummat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh. So he was sitting in the Haram. And he noticed that two people, they were criticizing some people who were doing tawaf. People were doing tawaf, and they were criticizing their method. That, you know, they were doing their tawaf, and they were probably making some mistakes. So these people, clearly they've been there many times, so their tawaf must have been perfect, or they thought it to be perfect. So they were criticizing these people who were doing tawaf. So Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he called them. And he said that, how old are you? He said, I'm 55. He said that, how often have you been praying salah? He goes, alhamdulillah, I've been praying salah since I became baligh, since I reached the age of maturity. So he goes, okay, so approximately you've been offering salat for 40 years, you've been offering salah. So he said, yeah. He goes, okay, how many sunnats does salah have? How many sunnats two rakat prayer have. So he named very difficult, it was difficult for him, but he named two, three sunnahs. Because you've been offering salat for 40 years, and you're criticizing people who come to the haram once in a lifetime. Of course they're going to be making mistakes in their tawaf. They're not going to be perfect. You have no right to criticize them. You have absolutely no right to criticize them. Rather than criticizing them, you should be more concerned about doing their islah, than how they can correct their action. What you should do, what we can do to correct their action. Imam Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, when they saw an old man doing wudu incorrectly, so this was a conundrum that, okay, how can I explain to this old man how to correctly perform the wuzu? Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein. So they went to the old man and they said that, oh Sheikh, you know, show us if we're doing wudu correctly. Look at our wudu, we're going to do wudu in front of you. Tell us if we're doing it correctly. They didn't want to correct him because he was an old man. He was a Sheikh. It would be inappropriate for a young man to go and correct someone who is old, someone who is an elder. See how much basirat and respect they had for their elders. So they went and they did the wudu. And the old man realized that, subhanallah, you know, I've been doing wudu wrong all of my life. And then he thanked Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein, that jazakallah khairan, for showing me the correct method of wudu. So these people, if we have to teach someone something, if we see something is contrary to Islam, then we should never critique that person. We should never criticize that person. Because once we criticize, it destroys mu'ashara. The relationship between a daughter-in-law and the mother of the son. This is a very delicate and sensitive relationship. It's a powder keg, so to speak. But if they were mindful, if the mother was mindful of the hukuk of the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law was mindful of the rights and hukuk of the mother, then there would be no problem. If the mother came to the house of the son with the intention that, I just want to meet my son, I want to meet the family, and I will treat this daughter-in-law of mine as I would treat my own daughter, there would be no problem. But the mother-in-law, what happens? She comes with the intention to criticize. She sees the kids, and she will criticize the kids that you are not raising them the right way. You are not raising them the correct way. She sees ironing. She sees that the daughter-in-law is ironing. No, you're not ironing the right way. And like this, she starts nitpicking. She doesn't come with the intention of visiting the son and speaking to the son. This is a problem that I, common question that I get. I received phone calls about this. That my mother-in-law comes to visit us, or my mother-in-law is living with us and she's constantly overlooking me and criticizing what I'm doing at home. Or, so what should I do? What can I do? Or the mother-in-law is saying that my daughter-in-law does not show me respect. Now we can flip it the other way around. That when the daughter-in-law, when she sees the mother, she should treat the mother like she would treat her own mother. And in this way, this will alleviate a lot of problems. This will remove a lot of problems. This is just one aspect of how we can improve our mu'ashara, how we can improve our sociability with others. This is just one aspect. There was Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf and Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, they had an argument. And I believe the story is in Hayatul Sahaba. They had an argument, and both of them came to the Prophet ﷺ to complain. This is common as well. People have arguments with one another, and then people go complain to a neutral party. But what happens is that party is not neutral. That party, what it does is that it instigates this argument. It makes it worse. You know, that argument was a drama, then it becomes a crisis. So the argument becomes a lot. So that person, he's not a neutral party. He just puts the peppers and the masala, and he makes it a lot worse. So both of them came to the Prophet ﷺ. Oh, Hazrat Khalid is always arguing with me. And Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu, he's complaining that Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf is always arguing with me. The Prophet ﷺ said that Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf, he is one of those Sahaba who participated in the Battle of Badr. Don't argue with him. He tells us a Khalid bin Walid. And then to Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf, he says that Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, he is Saifullah, he's the sword of Allah. Don't argue with him. So he looked to the virtues of both the individuals. This is what we need to do. We need to look at the virtues that each and every single one of us possess. Instead of looking at faults, instead of criticizing, we need to look at the virtues. And in this way, this will improve our mu'asharat. There's a story which I read today, and it's in the commentary of Hazrat Zurqani's Sharah on the Muwatta of Imam Malik. It's a compilation of hadith by Imam Malik. And in there's a story. So a woman had passed, she had died. And the women, they were washing her body. And while washing the body, one woman, she remarked that such and such woman, she committed zina. She committed zina. She committed adultery. She's, woman is dead. Woman has died. We have a habit of doing this as well. Someone has died, we still curse them. We still curse them. This is also very common. Someone has died. Someone, we don't know the state of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to deal with him, but yet we still curse that individual. And this is also a problem in our ma'asha. So this woman, she cursed this dead woman who she was washing. Look at the paradox. She's washing, she's doing something good. To wash the dead body is a good thing. But she's also saying that she committed adultery. Slander. This is slander. So while she was washing, her hand became stuck on the body of the woman. This is in the Sharh of Zurqani. Zurqani is a very great scholar. Imam Zurqani, who's a Maliki scholar, became stuck on the body. So she can't remove her hand. It's stuck. So the scholars were called. And the scholars, these men, they were men of Allah. And the scholars, whatever they would say with a lot of wisdom and with haqq. There's one story I remember. Sultan Sikandar Lodi. He was a Khalif of Delhi in the 900s, 1500 AC. So what happened was, I'm digressing a little bit, but let me mention this story. So Sultan Sikandar Lodi, he was very against the Hindus. He disliked the Hindus. He was a Muslim. So there was a scholar, and what happened was that there was a festival that took place in Delhi. India at that time, many Hindus were residents of Delhi. So annually they have this bath that they would take, a ritual. It's a ritual, and they would take a bath, right, in a tank. They would submerge themselves, and they would take a bath. This was part of their faith. So Sultan Sikandar Lodi, who was very much against the Hindus, he wanted to get rid of this. It was called Kurukshetra. This bath, this festival, it was called Kurukshetra. This is in Yadgar, Waqiyat Yadgar, I forgot, by Sheikh Ishaq, Maulana Ishaq Multani. Yadgar Waqiyat, it's in Urdu. So these Hindus, they would take a bath. So he wanted to get rid of this. So he consulted the scholars. The scholars said that, you know, let us ask, you know, the king of scholars, Maulana Abdullah. Maulana Abdullah was a great scholar. He was called Malikul Ulama, the king of the scholars. He will, you know, whatever he says, then we will accept. So he said that these people, they are celebrating this festival, but we as Muslims have no right to remove their temple. As Muslims, it is not permissible, it is haram for us to remove their place of worship. It is not ja'iz to remove their place of worship. And this coincides with how the Prophet ﷺ treated Darul Islam, where there was temples and churches. Rasulullah ﷺ would not remove them. So the Sultan Lodi, who was very much against Hindus, disliked the Hindus, killed them. He said, "What? You're Hindu now?" He took out his dagger, he goes, "I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to get rid of the temple." So this Maulana Abdullah, he said, I came, you know, whatever I say, whatever I said, I came with the intention that if I die, I die. But I will always speak the truth in front of a tyrant. I'm a Muslim. And I will always speak the truth. Whatever the ruling is, I will give that ruling. Whatever the haq is, I will give that ruling. My edict will be on haq. It will be the truth. I will not be afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you. So after that, Sultan Sikandar Lodi, he quieted down. And he said, you know, Alhamdulillah that someone like you is in my majlis. He realized that whatever he was saying is true. It is not permitted to destroy the temples of those who worship other religions, even though it may be an Islamic state. So anyway, I was talking about the ulama. I digressed. So now this woman who was being washed, her hand was stuck. One of the women's hand was stuck. So the ulama were consulted. They said, well, the woman's hand should be cut. Of course, the woman didn't want that. Why should her hand be amputated? And then some other scholar said, well, you know, the dead person, her body should be cut. The waratha, the heirs, right? They said, no, we're not going to desecrate, you know, our mother, our relative. We cannot do that. So then, this is a problem. It's become problematic. Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayhi, was called. So Imam Malik, he was presented the situation. He was told the situation. And Imam Malik, he said that I see only one solution. And he quoted the verse that وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ Who is Hafiz? وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ Those who slander the muhsanat, the chaste woman, the chaste woman. Fa nene bi arbatim, then bring fa'tu bi arbati shuhada'i minkum, then bring four witnesses. If you are going to slander someone for adultery, then bring four witnesses. Verses of Surah Nur. These are verses of Surah Nur. Or else you will be subject to 80 lashes. You will be subject to 80 lashes. Imam Malik said that this woman, she deserves 80 lashes. And then her hand, it will automatically remove. This was Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi giving this verdict. So there's a whole tartib how women receive lashes. They will be covered and it's still done properly. So lashes were given to this woman. And it will be done by a female, not a male. So lashes were given to this woman who had slandered this dead woman. And once 80 lashes were completed, the hand automatically came off. This is what happens when people criticize. That the punishment, either the punishment will take place in this world, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will subject that person to the punishment of the hereafter. This is what we need to improve in our mu'asharat. We need to stop looking at the faults of others, or stop displaying the faults of others. Stop talking about the faults of others and look towards their virtues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhirudam, alhamdulillah.